Okay, so we're up to Pasuk. We're doing these two psukim we're doing together. Baruch Ata Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam Shehakol Liya B'Dvaroi. Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Ches. Imor Hashem, Pasuk Zayin on page 102. We really pretty much finished Pasuk Zayin for the most part. But we have to go into Pasuk Ches to finish it off. So let's do the two psukim together, and we'll continue where we left off. Imrois Hashem Amorois Tohoros. The words of Hashem are words of purity, which Rashi explains to mean Baruch Omer V'Oseh. Hashem's words, Hashem is true to His word. They are Kesef Tzaduf. They are like silver that is refined. Ba'alil La'aretz. They are Ba'alil La'aretz. Many Perushim for Perushim. The one that we liked very much was that the master of the world, Hashem, is the Baal Aretz. His words are the words of the Baal of the earth are like Kesef Tzaruf, Mizukok Shevosoim, which have been purified multiple times. Okay, we learned yesterday Rashi, one interpretation, we have to go over that part again, is that the word Shevosoim really means Shiva, seven, or Shivas. And the Yud Mem connotes multiplication, plural. And in this context, the plural is going to be 7 times 7 for 49. And the Gemara Darshan, this refers to children. Children who are pure, are Tahar, the Shleitamu Tamchei, they have the ability to understand the Torah in the most complex way. 49 interpretations of every single word of the Torah.
I wonder if that's why they have the expression Kesef Tzaruf and
Ksuba. Kesef, interesting. Very interesting. Kesef, the Dafka, Kesef Tzaduf, we're alluding to children. Alluding to the goal of getting married is to have children. And the children should be pure.
Taking it from, because it doesn't have to say that way. You know?
Very interesting. Okay, the computer went down. I don't know why.
Good.
All right, let's go further. Something happened over here to the computer. I don't know what happened. We'll see what happens. It went down. Let's go further. Okay. Okay, then the next Pasuk says, Ata Hashem Tishmerein, you Hashem guard them. Titzerenu, guard them, is another word of guarding, min hadar zu le'olam. Guard them, protect them from this generation of Dal Toirim. Let's go back and let's run through this. We really pretty much did this. Right? We did this over here. Let's just run through very quickly one more time in the Rashi. Tishmereim lo isam anim ve'evyonim hanirdofim in hador azu shahim dey lo toirim.
Recording in progress.
Hashem guard. Okay, the computer just somehow went down for a few moments. Now it's back on. Okay, so Hashem guard them. Guard the anim and the evyonim that are being pursued from this generation of dey lo toirim, informers. Mizukok Shiv Osoyim, purified many times. Medrash Agod, so he right away jumps to the Medrash, Yesh, Yushuv Al Seder, and this Medrash Rashi says is Miyushuv, it fits to the words of the Pesukim. Many times Rashi he says exactly the opposite. There's a Medrash, but the Medrash is not Miyushuv Lufi HaSeder. This is the exception. This Medrash is Miyushuv Al HaSeder. Rabbi Yeshua, the Sichrin, B'shem Levi, Tinoikel Shayu Bimei David, Achloi Tamu Tamchet, Hoyu Yodim Lidrosh Satur Barboim, the Secha Ponim Lholzat, the Zehu Shiv Osoyim, Shiv As Yud Mem. Yud Mem is the plural. It's like.
By the way, from Psikta
de Rav Kahana, one of the Midrashim. So Shiv Osayim is Shiv As, and Yud Mem is the plural, like Ephraim. Is a fair multiplied by two. Yud Mem. Yud Mem is always double. Elohim, why is Elohim Hashem called Elohim B'Lashon Rabbim? There's only one God. It was the Derech. It's this was the style of writing, is that we want to give emphasis to something. You speak about it B'Lashon Rabbim, even Hashem. Even though Hashem is of certainly only one, there's only one God. It's a pella that we refer to Hashem with the term Elohim. Elohim really means Elokah. Elokah. Neshama shenasat bi tehoirehi. Why do we say Elohim? Elohim is the plural of Elokah. Elokah means God. You say Elokai, my God. When you put the Yud at the end, it connotes my God. Elokai nishamosh nasatadi. When you say just Eloka, it's God. So why then do we refer to Hashem with the term Elokim, Yudmem? The way you give chashivas to an individual or to an object, it's a style of writing, is to speak about it in the plural. That gives weight. It gives a very intense degree of weight. And even HaKadosh Baruch Hu refer to Hashem with the term Elokim, which is Eloka, Yud Mem. Ephraim is Efer, Yud Mem. A double dosage of Efer. Kineged Avraham, who said V'anochi Ofer V'Efer, and Kineged Yitzchak, whose Ephraim shall Ayil Tzavur Lefanav. Yitzchak was offered as an Aliyakeda. At the end, Avraham exchanged Yitzchak for an Ayil, and the Ayil was burnt. And the ash of the, what would have been Yitzchak is piled before Hashem, is Sovr Lefanov, is piled and presented before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the word Efer, there's a double Efer, Efer of Avraham, who said about himself, V'yonohi of Efer, and Yitzchak, Efer shall Yitzchak, shall Ayil, Sovr Lefanov. So that you want to make the word Efer double, you add a Yud Mem, Ephraim. So it means, so Yud, the Yud Mem always connotes doubling or a multiple. Here it's a multiplication where it's 7 times 7. Shivas Yomim. Shivas Yud Mem. It's 7 times 7. Here it's not 14, but instead it's going to be 49. And this was during the time of David. And here it is. This is the children. And Rabbi Mayevsky is saying a very fascinating idea. And here it says the word Kesef Tzadov. So Kesef Tzadov, he said right in the Ksuba, when you describe how much money the husband promises to give the wife in case of death or divorce, he doesn't just say 50 shkolim. There's a lot of expression, and it says Kesef Tzadov. So he's trying to suggest that it's coming to remind us, to take us and to set the tone, the mood of the people in the audience at the Chasen Kala. They should remember this pasuk. They should remember this pasuk, Ba'alil Aretz Mizukok Shiv Osayim. It's a code that the goal should be to produce children who are pure, like in the time of David, who would Shleitam Utam Chet, and will be able to understand the Torah. It's 49 perushim, every single word of the Torah. Okay, that's a really nice var. I like that. It's really good. It's a good var under the chuppah.
I mean, it just,
that's a very, every word that we have, and this is like very, it's not so appreciated. Rav Chaim Kamenetsky, all the gedolim today, is probably one of the, I always tell you, it's one of the, very much promotes this idea. And that is, everything that Chazal wrote is not original.
Right.
By design. They did not try to decide to come up with their own ideas. Every nusach hatfila, every word that we use in our activities, nusach hatfila, is all plagiarized. Not plagiarized, and not in that sense, but it's all extracted from Tanakh, and it's done with chokhmah to put a person that is thoroughly fluent in when you say words. It right away takes you to that episode. It triggers. It triggers an entire mindset. And you're saying something very fascinating. We're in Tanakh, we say the word Kesef Tzadov. I don't think it says too many times. Go do a computer search. Probably doesn't say. And here, when you say Kesef Tzadov, you look and then you go right away. If a person is fluent in Tanakh, and you say Kesef Tzadov, it takes your mind, whether you know it or not, whether it's conscious or subconscious, it takes your mind to this pasuk,
right.
And this pasuk right away, all those ideas begin to percolate in your subconscious of Kesef Tzadov, and right away you remember the Maamar Chazal of Rashi, and this pasuk refers to children who are beautiful children. Shiva Sain, 49 interpretations of every single word. Okay, that's very, very fascinating, but I gotta write that down. I'm sure you already did. Look at their Torah. Ato Hashem Tishmerin. Guard the children. Shemoraisa Biliba. Titzrenim in Hadar Hazel Oilam Shal Yilmudu Darchem Lios De La Torah. They should not become informers. Min Hadar Shayim De La Torah. Go to Yeshiva. Come in the front gate, and have on the front gate this pasuk. This pasuk, these words, Ata Hashem Tishmerein Titzrenu Min Hadar Zu La'olam. Hashem guard the children from all of the distractions. Now, this is what we learned over here. Now let's look at the Likutei Shas. So there are definitely some very important things over here. Okay, let's look at Pasuk Zayin on page 105.
Yeah.
On the bottom, Imarois Hashem Amarois Taharois Kesef Sadef Baalil Laaretz Mizukok Shiv Osoyim Bain Shnira Hayrech Bechidush Baalil Begolui. This is just we really review these other sources of things that we already said 100 times. We're going back to one of the 4 perushim of the word Ba'alil. One of the 4 perushim means that it's that the word Oretz, let's go backwards, means Bnei Adam, mankind. This, there is transparency. Everyone knows with clarity that the silver is pure as can possibly be. It is Ba'alil, it is revealed to mankind. There's pure, unadulterated transparency, that this is the real deal. How do you know the word alil means it's transparent, it's clear, it's exposed? We find this in the Mishnais. And the Mishnais, learn it from over here. What does it say? When the witnesses come to testify, they saw the new moon, and the judges, they cross-examine them, and they interrogate them. What exactly did you see? And one of the questions is, was the moon clear, or was the moon behind the cloud? Was the moon fully exposed, or it was not fully exposed? You saw some light behind the cloud. Someone once told me, they said Kiddush Levana, and then he said to me, I'm not sure I made a mistake. I said Kiddush Levana to the street lights. I'm joking.
I know he doesn't have
eyesight, he was an elderly person. Could be I made a Bracha Levatola, but maybe that was the street light I said Kiddush Levana. Okay, was it clear or was it not clear? Bein shenira hayirech b'chidushoy ba'alil b'goli bein shenir shalini ba'alil. Mechalin loves a Shabbos, a person will be mechalil Shabbos to testify. Unbelievable halacha. That you're allowed to be mechalil Shabbos to testify the new moon to travel. It doesn't mean what kind of chilul Shabbos, limited chilul Shabbos, the tchum. Lovoy mirachoyik ulhoid. My mash, the high alil lishna dimigali who that it's exposed, this pasuk. The words of Hashem are pure. They are pure. They are refined. It is revealed to the entire world. Okay, if you want, remember the idea that we just said 1 moment ago, you can take the same idea and apply it to Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana on page 105 on the bottom of the page in the Likutei Shas. We just finished the first time Chazal. And we want to go take this concept. When you say something, it opens up in your mind, either consciously or subconsciously, a frame of mind. When a person goes out to say Kiddush Levana, we know that Kiddush Levana is Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. Kabbalah, that's El Mali Lo Zachu Yisrael El Hakbil Pnei Avim Shabashmayim Pamachas Bachodesh Dayon. It will be enough. It's Kedai. Kiddush Levana is a, we don't really appreciate what this means. It's hard to understand what this means. But Kiddush Levana is Kabbalas Pnei Hashechina. The Klal Yisrael is done to the Levana, wanes, waxes, whatever, all the different Jewish about Kiddush Levana is Kabbalas Pnei Hashechina. And when you go see the Levana, what are you looking for? When you see the Levana, it's really like what we do today. It's like a reenactment of the witnesses seeing the Levana and going to the court and testifying, oh, we saw the Levana. So we are, when you see a clear Levana, Ba'alil, you see a clear Levana, it triggers this pasuk. It triggers in your mind this pasuk. And this pasuk tells you that the words of Hashem, Hashem's words, Hashem's promises are tahar. Mizukok shivasayim. And what does it mean they're tahar? It means that according to Rashi, Hashem's words come true. Baruch oimer v'yoseh. Hashem gives us promises in Chumash and Tanakh. Hashem's words, that's the trigger of Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina. This pasuk, you see a clear moon. It's Ba'alil. That's the halacha. Halacha is the chatil. You have to wait until the cloud passes. If the cloud, if the moon is behind the cloud, it's not clear. B'di'evet, you can say, you can make a bracha. B'di'evet. B'di'evet, if you could make out the surah of the Levana from behind the cloud, B'di'evet, you can say Kiddush Levana. But L'chatchil, of course, it's ideal that it should be crisp, Ba'alil. And when it's Ba'alil, you're triggering this concept of the Imarois Hashem, Amarois, Tehorois, Kesef, Zokuk, Ba'alil, Oretz, Mizukok, Shiv, Osoy. Okay, so like we said before, every word, every activity we do, it takes us to a pasuk, and sometimes the pasukim are not the obvious pasukim. It's a pasuk that you would never imagine, and those pasukim capture a very fascinating concept of the tahar of Hashem, the promises of Hashem. Kabbalah Aspenei Hashchina. What exactly is Kabbalah Aspenei Hashchina? What exactly are you doing when you mean Kabbalah Aspenei Hashchina? What are you reflecting upon? Well, this pasuk obviously is related, because if this pasuk has been quoted virtually by every single one of the Mefarshim on the page, and what does it mean the word Ba'alil? And everyone here is giving you Perushim. One of the Perushim we learned means that it is revealed to mankind, to the people that live on this earth, that Hashem's words are pure, are an emes, will come true, And when you go to Kiddush Levadna, the word that Chazal used to describe the witnesses witnessing the moon and testifying, which is what we do as a token zecher for what happened in the time of Chazal, is coming back to this very pasuk and being reminded of these concepts. Okay, let's next Chazal. Amar Moshe lefonav.
That we have the halacha is that you have to, when you do Kiddush Levana, you have to see it, as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it's only b'di'evan, because you might think that, you know, it's always there, why can't you just, you know it's there. It's just that
you have to see it.
Interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
you can't see.
That's the thing, you can never see
it. It's a Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina of Ru'iyah. You're saying very, very deep. Ordinarily Hashem is Roya ve'einoy nireh.
That's why we say you have to see it, because Hashem is the only one that you believe it without seeing it.
You don't see it, exactly. Roy Hashem sees, but he is not seen. Yet, this is an example of where we see. We're not seeing Hashem, but the Levana represents the Shekhinah. Kabbalas Pnei HaShekhinah. The Shekhinah is Hashem. And this fulfillment of Kabbalas Pnei HaShekhinah can only be achieved through actually seeing something. And if you don't see, you can't make the bracha. Kabbalah Pnei HaShekhinah, yeah. Okay, let's now go to the next words of the next Ma'am Chazal. Amar Moshe lefanav Ribono Shel Olam hodieni ha'echi ha'halacha. Tell me, now this is Mamash, this week's parasha, in Yonah D'Yoyma. Tell me, how do we follow the halacha? In other words, what is the process? What is the procedure of deciding halacha? Amar lo acharei rabim lehatois. That the rule is, follow the majority. Which is a very powerful concept, because there's no such thing in this world as a unanimous agreement on anything. That's the way the world is. Different strokes for different folks. No one's going to agree, and this rule is a very important rule of follow the majority. Now, there are certain you know, in the state of Israel. I remember reading about this in the history of the state of Israel. I'm sure it's true also in America and other countries. That they had a custom in Israel, at least in the beginning, in the cabinet, that they when they had to go to war, or I don't remember exactly what.
You mean the security cabinet?
No, I don't know. I don't remember. With the prime minister, this goes back to the very beginning of the state of Israel, where there were major decisions, and no one knew what to really do, and they took a vote, and the vote was not unanimous. It was divided, and there was a majority, and the majority won. So the custom was, this is what I remember either reading or hearing, you can check it out, it was such a major significant decision, after the majority won, and could there's a chazal about this also. Could there's a chazal that says something about this, I have to see what it says in the Rambam. After the majority won, then the people who lost. I mean, the people who had a different, they okay, we lose. So technically, according to the way they set up the law, is okay, let's proceed, follow the majority. No, they voted again, and the people who lost had, the custom was, we change our mind, and now the decision on record comes out from the entire cabinet. You say, L'may nafkamina? Okay, it's symbolic. It's symbolic.
To present a united front.
United front. Is that really proper thing to do? Is that really the correct thing to do? Now the Rambam talks about this. The Rambam talks, I don't remember, you have to see exactly what it says in the Rambam. There's a whole shiloh when you have a dispute in Bezdin. And acharei rabim lahatis. 23 judges, and the majority decide, let's say the person is chayiv misa. Now what? Does that mean, okay, the majority of the acharei, what does it mean acharei rabim lahatis? Does it mean that the minority has, listen, since we are the minority, and the majority of our chaverim have decided this chayiv, so we have to humble ourselves now, basically, and change our vote to come as a united, as you say, what was that term, a united front, that this is the decision. I don't remember, I believe there is a big topic of discussion about exactly this issue in halacha. Now the question is that, what does the tzad to say no? Because the answer is, no.
Once they change their vote,
they have to show, when a bezdin,
we should not go and tell who voted which way. But that's the
why should they say voted which way? Why should they take voted which way? Why not?
Because that creates this.
Why should they start changing the vote?
So that's healthy. To a degree. There has to be a healthy give and take. Today, you know, today what's going on in the world, today, as you all know in this pandemic, there are complaints that there's no room for a second opinion. This is how it is. And that's the way, and that's it. It has to be. I mean, I don't have to. I'm not making a secret. It's a certain general, you know. A certain general. It's an incredible thing. He publicly says that anyone that has power today. He said this two days ago. It's an incredible thing that he said. Anyone who has power should use their power to suppress, cancel, and censor anyone that disagrees with the position of the government.
They are.
In other words, there's no that we know. We know they are, but to publicly. The Surgeon General to publicly make a statement that there should be censorship? I mean, this is communist Russia. It's unbelievable. He was given instructions. He's a puppet. He was told. So that's not that. This country, it's not our business what they do in this country. But there is something where approach. You have a bezdin. Look at the psukim. There's a bezdin. The Torah says, acharei rabim lehatos. Those words imply that there are different opinions. There are different opinions. It doesn't have to be unanimous. Mm-hmm. And if there are different opinions, halacha l'maisa, this is what we follow. This is the opinion. But we don't. There's another opinion. We don't silence the other opinion. It's not accepted in practice, but that opinion remains. Moshe Rabbeinu, we asked Hashem, how do we follow the halacha? What kind of question is this? What do you mean, how do you follow the halacha?
What are the rules?
I mean, what do you mean, what are the rules? Hashem is telling him the rules are, the way the world works is, there are different opinions. Don't ever expect everyone to agree. It's not possible. There's no such thing as agreement. Everyone's going to agree to you to one opinion. There are different opinions. However, in this world, you have to follow one opinion. There has to be some uniformity. And acharei rabim lehatos, you follow the majority. But when you say the words, you follow the majority, that does imply that there is a minority. The minority, you don't take out send to a firing squad and silence them. You don't send, that means there's a majority opinion and there's a minority opinion. The minority opinion, you lose. But you still exist. You still exist. When you have a culture where the minority opinions, they don't exist. They don't exist. They don't exist.
The Darshan Rabbi, I know in the Amud HaLison, he mentions it by the difference between the Mekoshesh and the Magadeh is one by Magadeh, it says by Yudumu also, and by Mekoshesh, it says by Yudumu also, Boabonim. So he says, why is one say Eben and one say Rabban?
You're not unanimous?
Because by Magadeh, everybody agrees.
Wow.
This guy's got to go.
Fascinating.
By the Mekoshesh, what people are for? What are you doing?
Fascinating. But there is another halacha though that if the entire ad kedekach, the entire bezdin says chayif, then he's potter. If everyone says he's guilty, if everyone, because that also, so what is the simple pshat and what is the drush? The simple pshat is because then the people that are saying chayif, they're not thinking properly because they don't have to prove their opinion. There's no opposition. If there's no opposition, if you have an opponent, then you have to go through the steps and prove that you are right. It causes the the other people to sweat.
He says that we're in deliberations from autonomy for
it. It has to be.
Yeah, but if everyone right away comes to the conclusion guilty,
I'm aware of that.
So then that takes away from the deliberations.
It's too easy.
No,
it only works in one direction.
What I learned in Beis Medrash that on the Rebbe explained that, the way he explained it was that you are there as a judge. We don't want to kill people. We're trying to give us zechus. If none of you could find the zechus, then you're not doing your job.
But the other opinion, the other opinion is when everyone says chayiv, it's an indication of corruption. Because it's an indication that the minority has been silenced, has been cancelled, has been censored. And this is an indication this is not a court. This is not a court. It is a kangaroo court. That's what if everyone says chayiv, why is everyone saying chayiv? It means there's intimidation going on. There's intimidation, there's censor, there's something, because it's not natural. It's an indication, again, the pshuto shel mikra is that there's no corruption whatsoever. It's just that there's no deliberation. Because if there's no opposition, so the people that are deciding chayiv are not really thinking it through properly. Because if there was someone who said that he's innocent, they would hear the arguments, and they would fight back and forth, and then there would be a serious consideration that he should be innocent. Okay, that's the judicial maker. But on a deeper level, it means the court is corrupt. It means how come there's no opposition? How come there is no one that wants to say the other way around? It means there's some type of censure. There's some type of silencing. There's something that's fundamentally wrong. Here, so let's go back to this one. This one, Chazal, is very deep.
Beryl Wine makes a point of saying that we never recovered from having Rabbi Elizabeth Orpinus put in Cheirim. He said because there were many machlokas in that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel would be opposed, it was one against one, and Rabbi Elizabeth was always machria, he was the third vote that would be on either one side or the other, and they always looked to him to make the decision. And when they put him in Cheirim, it just things were left up in the air because it was Rabbi Gamliel against Rabbi Yeshua, and they never came to a conclusion to the argument. And we never recovered when they put it in Cheirim.
It's censorship. Censorship. The more things change, the more things remain the same. Okay, Rabbi. Now it was Acharei Ramalos. Rabu Hamazakin Zaku. The majority says innocent. Rabu Hamechayv Mechayvu. Kidei Shatei Atoyra Nidreshas Memtes Panim Tamei or Memtes Panim Tahar. Why is there such a principle of following the majority? In other words, we want there to be a healthy debate. We do not want there to be an unanimous opinion, because this encourages debate, and through the debate, this will bring out all the possible ideas and arguments. It's lahagdil Torah ulahadira. Minayin. How do you know this principle? Minayin. It says in the pasuk v'digloy bigamatria memtes v'digloy alai ahava. Shir Hashem v'digloy alai. The banner is love. And what is the word v'digloy? It's bigamatria memtes. Okay, so this is in this part with the degel, this word somehow, obviously there's a lot more to this to understand what this really is referring to, why this refers to the Beis Din, but that's the drush. V'chein, and now we're coming to say this, to apply this to our pasuk of V'chein, where it says the pasuk, imareis Hashem, amareis, amareis, kesef, sodof, alil, la'aretz, mizukok, shiv, o sayim. This is what it said in Rashi. Rashi darshan this in reference to the children of the time of David. But over here, this Maimar Chazal is darshaning this in reference to the Sanhedrin. Shiv, o sayim, hainu, sheva, kofol, sheva, pa'amim, 49. Seven times of the words of Hashem. According to this Maimar Chazal, this Yerushalmi, the words here are the Imareis Hashem, are the words of the Torah. The words of the Torah are pure, and there is a healthy battle in the Beis Din, arguing what the halacha should be, and when you have some opinions suggest this idea, some suggest that, there's a battle. And in the battle brings out all of the facets,
yeah,
all of the dimensions,
right,
of Torah. Bavel, that's why the Gemara says, why is Talmud Bavli, there's another, why is the Talmud Bavli much more elaborate than Talmud Yerushalmi? Why do we today study Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi is on a back burner? Why? Because the Talmud Bavli, the Shachkas in Bavel, they were very tough people and they fought. They love a good fight. And they're called Choyvlim. They would punch each other. They took out their frustration in the Milchamta, so it says Chazal, and the Milchamta Shel Torah. And that turned out to be a very great advantage because it produced a work, Talmud Bavli, which is Molei V'Gadosh Chochma, wisdom and insight and understanding. In Yerushalayim, they were Noichin Zeh L'Zeh B'Halach. They were very polite. What do you say? Ah, very nice. What do you say? Ah, give you a prize. Everyone is a good boy. Everyone gets a prize.
I need that.
What?
I need that.
In this generation, we need that. We all need that. If everyone is chashuv, no one is chashuv. That's the way it goes. No one is chashuv.
I mean, then he said, you know, that was said as a shvach.
Not necessarily.
That's why I understand it. That's a shvach. They would know him as a loser. The reason that the Bavli was more learned, because it extended hundreds of years later. Yeah, all the Abayas, Rav of the Abaya.
No, they pretty much...
That's how I'll explain that way.
Okay, but that's one idea. Okay, but I'm not making this up. This is something where I think is very well said this also. The Bavli was developed to a much, much greater degree, and the Bavli presents enormous amount of Chochmah, because Chazal say, Choyvlim, they were Choyvlim, they fought with each other, and the fighting brought out the Memtes Parlamentaria. In Yerushalayim, they did not. Yerushalayim was a much more pleasant approach. Also, the other Mahalachim. The other Mahalachim said that the whole Mahalach of the Yerushalmi is a Kabbalistic approach to Torah.
Right.
And the approach in the bubble was rational. More of a rational, intellectual approach to the Torah.
Can I say?
They are the rationalists, and then they are the Kabbalists.
Yeah. I was to say, I think you mentioned one time the bubble, the Poron Tumor, they had the ashes and they were pure.
So maybe Imaroy Sashem, the Amaroyim had Paradum, that's the document. The Amaroyim, Yerushalmi also had the Paradum. We also had the Paradum.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
500 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, they still had ash from the Pora Aduma, and they were Mitara themselves, and the Tahara enabled them to reach exalted heights of spirituality. Okay, that's a side point.
That's why it said, I think it's near the end of Kedushin, there's one halacha that the Gemara gives in I think it's Kedushin, I'm not sure. I don't remember the exact case, but it's a clear opposition to something it says in Yerushalmi. And so the Makor shouldn't have to deal with it. How come could it be? They said they did not know that the Yerushalmi, they weren't aware that this was, they didn't know the Yerushalmi. Had they known, they never would have said what it said.
That's a very big chiddush to say that.
Yeah, but that's what it says.
All right. I mean, the many times you have machlokes about in Yerushalmi. There's so many different.
Yeah, but there's one halacha that's so,
Okay. Okay. I hear. Okay. I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. Obviously, they didn't know. Otherwise,
But generally, we find all over. You have many different issues. You have a psak halacha, and it says in the Gemara Beferish Vaker. Then it's us, the Yerushalmi. The Shulchan Aruch is passing like the Yerushalmi. Okay, there's a lot of give and take between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. There's different disagreements. When you have a stira between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, who do you paskin like? These are rules in Psak Halacha. All right, any event over here, this Maimon Chazal is a beautiful Maimon Chazal, because over here it's taking this pasuk, it is applying this pasuk to the words of the Torah, the Imarois Hashem Amarois Tehorois. And it concludes, it's Zokuk Shiv Osoyim. The words of the Torah are purified 7 times 7. Ayin, now even though we say Ayin Panam Torah, here it's 49, it's the same idea, is that through the give and take, you can bring out in every word of Torah multiple perushim. And we say, how do you reconcile this idea called Ayin two different ideas. There's an ayin panim l'Torah. There are 70 facets in every word of Torah. And here there's a different chazal that says there are 49 facets in Torah. So what? When do you say 70? When do you say 49?
It's just the case of Sanhedrin is 70, and you know, the, from Pesach to Shavuos is 49. I mean,
yeah. So they're different. It's like, how many tzaddikim? How many tzaddikim does the world survive on? So you have, again, you have all, you have one Maimon Chazal says 3. Another Chazal says 36. How many tzaddikim
do we
need? The world needs the merit of tzaddikim to order the world to exist. So there's one Maimon Chazal that says the world needs 3. There's another that says it needs 30.
Right.
There's another that says 36.
Right.
And then there's another one that says 18,000. And then there's another, I know, there's a whole long list of all the different numbers. Yeah, you go, there's a long list, collect all the numbers, the Midrashim, the Gemara, Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Tongue of Eliyahu. How do you reconcile this? There are different dimensions. There are different dimensions in this world. The world needs a lot of things. And there are a certain group, core tzaddikim, which in their merit, this we have. And a certain group, in their zechus, we have this. Look at Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. In the zechus of Moshe, we had the man. In the zechus of Aaron, there was the Anani Yaakov. In the zechus of Miriam, there was the Be'er. Each person contributes what is unique to them. So to this world, there are tzaddikim, there are groups of tzaddikim, and they contribute certain things. We're not really aware how these things work. So it's just to point out, it's an interesting observation, I think, is that we know that the words, we all very familiar, that Torah, ayin panim l'Torah. And here we're learning a chazal that says there are 49 panim l'Torah. 49. What is it? Is it 49 or ayin? Well, obviously there are different dimensions. There are different dimensions in understanding the Torah, and it has to be, you know, understood in one area. There are 49, and one area there are 70, whatever that means, it means. Okay, let's go further. Next, Maimon Chazal. Back to
all
page.
All this Zion is in
Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Zion, yeah. Oh, Zion. 7, the Pasuk Zion. That's right, that's right. Nothing is an accident. Nothing is an accident. Okay, let's go back to the Maimon Chazal. Give me 1 second, we'll play. Okay. Next Chazal here.
Third white line.
Hamis ganev me'achar chaver v'cholich v'shona pirkoi.
Third
in 105 in Likutei Shas. In the Likutei Shas. Hamis ganev me'achar chaver v'cholich v'shona pirkoi af al pi shnikru ganev zoiche la'atzmai. Now this seems to mean over here that if a person's intellectual theft. Is that what it's referring to over here? You steal knowledge. A person is part of a group, and he leaves, and he is kidnapped. You steal from someone else a friend, meaning you have a group of people that are studying together. They have a copyright on intellectual knowledge, and he goes to the other side. And then the Hoylech Vishoina Pirko, and he teaches the opposition secrets of knowledge. Afalpi Shenikra Ganaf, the other side is a Ganaf, Zoichel Atzmai. Not so bad. What does that mean? Shenemar, Lo Yavuzu Laganov, Ki Yignoif, Lemale Nafshoi to fill up his soul, Ki Yirov. Let's go further. We'll come back. Soif Shemis. Shemis mane parnos ala tzibur. Not only that, the end will be that the ganof will be appointed as a leader on the tzibur. Umizakeya sarabim, he'll be mizakeh the tzibur. Vezoicha la atzma yimashalim al ma shebiyodeh shenema. Venimtsa yishalim shiv osoyim. The ein shiv osoyim el divrei Torah. It refers to the divrei Torah. Shenema amores teroyes kesef sof shbalul loritz mizukok shiv osoyim. Now I'm not sure I'm interpreting this correctly, but I'm making an assumption. This is what it means. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Then you'll correct me. Is that no one has a copyright on Torah? Okay, this is a big old principle. Right. Person, and the question is how far this really goes. No one has a copyright on chidushay. If a person is mechadish words of Torah, you cannot copyright the intellectual. You cannot get a patent or this is my idea. and no one is allowed to publish it.
But you should say it in his name.
You say it. Now, you can get a copy on the paper, okay? On the paper and the layout and the nukudos. It's very complicated. The laws of copyright are extremely, extremely complicated in halacha. What are a person's intellectual rights? We know when it comes to gneva, if this is my tissue box, if I paid for this tissue box and someone steals this, someone, chayiv, take him to court, put him in jail. This is parsha. A ganav is a ganav. But if let's say a person is, let's say the person is mechadei something in science, he comes up with a Einstein, theory of relativity. So now that you have this new theory, we can put it into practice. We can take, someone understands, he comes up with a novel understanding of science. Now, because of that novel understanding of science, people now can go forward and can can produce new devices that do incredible things. Person comes up with an idea, he writes on a paper, a concept of how gravity works, and he reveals how a person can manipulate it. He reveals this information, and now someone takes that information and he makes hovercrafts. You have, instead of automobiles on the ground, we now discovered how to manipulate gravity. You can go into a car and the car hovers over the ground and doesn't have to go on the ground. You can just fly in the sky. So you're a ganef. You are a ganef. I'm the one who revealed the secret of how this concept works. You could never come up with this. You took it and you put it into practice by creating a device based upon my intellectual novel ideas. Can I sue him? In halacha. In halacha, can I say that you're a ganef? Very possibly, yes. Because that's not Torah. That's science. If I am a chadish, something in science, if I go and I dig, I quarry gold. Here's the gold. I dug down, I toiled. Here's the gold. It's mine. You come and you steal it, you're a ganef. But if I come up with a concept, and someone then takes my concept and produces a product, can I go sue him? Maybe you can. Maybe that's intellectually, it's a davar she'ein by mamish. And he's taking the davar she'ein by mamish, and he's going and he's putting it into practice and making devices and this and that without giving me credit. Is that called gnev in halacha? It's not so simple because it's not a davar she'yesh by mamish. A tissue box is davar she'yesh by mamish. An intellectual concept that you spend your whole life devoted to come up with, even though it's an incredible, it's priceless because you spend your whole life, but it's davar she'ein, it's davar she'ein. So that has to do. But what about third category? A person comes up with a chidushei Torah. There's a difficult tosfos somewhere in some mesecta, and no one knows what the answer is. And now you come along and you figure out the answer to this difficult question. And then someone comes along and learns the answer, and he makes a yeshiva, or he charges people money to teach them the chiddush, this answer to the tosfos. Can I go and take him to Beis Din and say, you're a ganef, this is my chiddush, you found out, I told it to someone, and you found out about it, and you took it, and now you're using it to whatever, to give yourself kavod and money and glamour, whatever. So when it comes to Torah, there's a rule that there's no geneva. You can't, Torah ma'ani b'chinam af ata b'chinam. If a person is mechadesh chidushei Torah, there's no such thing as stealing it. I mean, you have to give attribution, but you cannot go and say you're ganef. No such thing. A davar sheyesh v'mamish, absolutely. An intellectual novelty that's not related to Torah is a big, big topic. It's a big topic of discussion. But chidushei Torah? No. Chidushei Torah, ma'ani b'chinam, afata b'chinam. It's free. Hashem gave, was megal the Torah, gave Torah to Klal Yisrael, revealed the Torah. She didn't charge. There was no admission fee to come to Matan Torah. It was free. There's no admission. Isn't that amazing?
But what admission to different yeshivas that you charge? And Hillel couldn't afford it.
Hillel, okay, because they, so what were they paying for? They're paying for the heat, paying for the chairs, for the pay the real estate taxes. I don't know the answer. It's not everything. Nothing said. Look, today a person machadish Torah. We know today it's not the work. What I just said is oversimplistic. Because if today a person writes, person will come along and take a person puts out a safer, and someone takes the safer and goes and he copies it and sells it in the bookstore, you'll take him to court. You'll win because I have a copyright. How does it work? So you'll say dina de malchus adina, or you'll say it's not the chidushei Torah, it's the layout on the page and this and that. The way it translates into modern times, contemporary society, it's obviously requires a lot of clarification. Yeah. But theoretically, in concept, there is no one has a copyright on novel ideas relating to the Torah, because when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Hashem gave it for free. Ma ani b'chinam af ata b'chinam. I once heard a fundraiser. See, everything needs like das Torah. What is that das Torah? I mean, I don't know. I once heard a very big fundraiser. Everyone here knows. I'm not going to say his name. And he's a certain type of person. He's not. And I was very, very disappointed. He gave him a speech, and he did. The way he said. He made an appeal, and he said, you know, we have an institution. We have an institution, and there's a lot of learning, knowledge, v'chulu. And then he says very bluntly, but I want to tell you something. Torah is not free. It's not free. It costs money. It costs a lot of money, Torah. We have this beautiful institution. It costs money. Torah is not free. And therefore, we're asking you to pay. We're making an appeal. Now, obviously, the whole world runs on fundraising. Every yeshiva, they work. But to say it, you know, it's the presentation, I personally felt that's not the way you present it. I don't think it went off well. Torah is free. It is free. That is the truth. Now, if you're not going to have a lot of money, the yeshiva's going to close down tomorrow. There's a way to present it. To say it in such the way, just imagine the way it was said in such blunt terms. This is not free. This costs money. You got to do your part. You got to pay. That's true. You have to pay. We understand that. But there's a certain edelkeit in understanding that Torah really, ma ani b'chinam, af ata b'chinam. This Tosefta is a very, very fascinating Tosefta. And look what it says over here. Over here, you have two chaburas, two groups of people. And they both, and one of them comes along and they steal one of the members. Hamiskanev me achar chaver. You steal a person. This is goinev nefashas. Loi tignoiv. Okay, what is loi tignoiv? Loi tignoiv is goinev nefashas. You steal a person. Vaholich, and you steal, who do you steal? You take from another yeshiva, a big Talmud Chacham. You take him into your camp. Vaholich v'shana pirukai. The chidush that he's teaching, where did he get that from? He got it from the other yeshiva. It's not fair. Afal pish nikol ganof zoyche la'atzmo. It's okay. This you're allowed to steal. This you're allowed to steal. Shenemar lo yuvuzu la'ganof. This type of ganof will not be put to shame. Ki yignoiv. Why? Why will he not be put to shame when you stole the Talmud Chacham for yourself? Because you stole him lemalei nafshay. You want to fill up your neshama with the knowledge of Hashem, with Torah, and that is permitted. Because Torah is v'china. Soiv shemis manei panis. Not only that. You will be oil ligadula for the geneva. You have to be very careful how you make this practical. Alat sibor umezake yasarabim v'zeichel yatzvim v'shalim amash shebiyadoi shenemar. Now what is it? How does it look poetic here? V'nimsa, he'll be found yeshalem shiv osam. He will give over the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Vein shiva saim el divrei Torah shnemar amarais harais kesef shav ba'alil oritz mizrikok shiva saim. Okay, this is a very complicated idea which has to obviously be understood in this context. Let's go to the next pasuk. Saviv risham yisaloch. Okay, let's try to show over here one pasuk. It's sort of maybe go next week to next.
I'd like to mention something.
Yes.
I think that the idea is kol ha'ame agava b'shem omro. It's not only legal al olam, because otherwise it looks like you steal it. You say it as your own kiddush, and somebody said it before. So that's why this it's lotignov. not only with the Gula Laulam. The Gomed, if he doesn't say it,
B'Shem Amroi. B'Shem Amroi. There is a Gnev in that element. Okay, so, but here he's saying, but as far as the actual, there's a geneva in not saying it b'shem amrei, but the knowledge itself, there's a principle that there is no such thing in geneva on the now. You have to say b'shem amrei, but you're allowed to get up, make a drasha, and say, let me tell you a chiddush from someone else. Right. In other words, a person is mechadish, it says a drasha, and shul, he says a drasha. So is someone else allowed to go to another shul and say, I want to tell you chiddushim? And I'm telling you, in the name of so-and-so said this drasha. This rabbi, he said this brilliant, brilliant chiddush. I'm gonna tell you these words, b'shem amrei. Can that rabbi say, no, I don't give you permission. I don't give you permission to say over, even in my name. Because I want to go one day to that shul, maybe, next year, as a scholar in residence, and I want to give the drasha there. So when I'm now saying the drasha in my shul, no one in this shul is allowed to walk out and go say over what I just said in my name in another shul. Because next year, when I want to be the scholar in residence in that shul, they're going to say, what are you going to say? You're going to say the chiddush that you said last year? Guess what? Someone already told it to us. He's a ganef. Yeah. He has no right. He has no right to say it. What do you mean he's a ganef? You have no... You're mechadish chiddush Torah. Too bad for you. It's public knowledge. There's no such thing as being a ganef on the chiddush. You, of course, you have to say b'shem amrei. That's geneva. But the chiddush, you can't suppress. No, there's a chazal of a person that's chiddush Torah. I saw somewhere in the Sefer, he writes, sir, is your mechuyiv, you have an obligation to preserve it and to say it, to preserve it in some way. Because if you don't, you're over on the aveir of a novi that is koivesh es nivu asai. There is such a halacha that a prophet, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in the mind, gives a prophecy to a person, he has an obligation, the Gemara derives this from Pesukim, he has an obligation to give it over, to reveal, to give over the prophecy. And if a prophet withholds this prophecy, it's Chayiv Mitzvah. Yonah, Hashem gave over prophecy to Yonah, Yonah cannot escape. If Hashem puts into a person's mind Nevuah, prophecy, you must reveal the prophecy. So if a person knows secrets, he goes, he knows the baseball scores, and he knows this, he knows all the secrets. Are you mechuyev to give over the information? Of course not. And sometimes you're not even allowed to give information. But if a person is mechadesh chidushei Torah, this is in the category of a nevuah, of a minor nevuah. A novel inside of Torah is in the category of Hashem put into your mind a minor prophecy. And if you fail to preserve it, by writing it down or by revealing it in some form, a person is in the category of a Navi that is koivesh nivu asa. Unbelievable. Okay, there is no ownership over the intellectual insights of one person. Okay, you have to have attribution. That's another issue. But there is no, in the secular world, there is. You file a patent. A person has an insight into a concept. You can file a patent on the intellectual concept, intellectual property. And halacha recognizes this. If it's but when the intellectual property is rooted in the words of Torah, then there's no such thing. All right, I don't think we have time to finish. Let's just maybe try this for 1 second. Let's see how far we get. Saviv Rishom Yisalachun Kirum Zulus. That's a hard word to pronounce. Zulus. Zulus Livnei Adam. Mitsudois David. Mitsudois David on page 105. Saviv, this referring to the generation. This according to the generation that we're trying to be protected from. Ki Odashoyim Holchim Sivivois Ho'evyoin Lulachtoi. The wicked are trying desperately to trap the Evyoin. Kimo Herom Hazelel. And he gives an example. David HaMelech is using multimedia presentation. I'll take you to the homeless centers. Kimo Herom, he showed them. Go take a look. Hazelel. The Zelel means the lowly person. Asher Soiv Holech Liter B'nei Adam. Go look at the Zoil, he refers to the wicked. look at how they circle. They circle the vulnerable to steal from them. Kmo herom hazoylel asher soyvei v'hoylech litreif b'nei adam. Ulezeh ein shmira lohe evyoin ki im al yodecha. The only hope they have is for you, Hashem, to save them. Okay, and that is the conclusion of the mitzvah. So over here, you were, what is it going to be? When I worry about saviv v'sham yisalachun, the wicked, they encircle the vulnerable. Now the mitzvah stuff, it is not, you know, he's not translating this. How could he not translate these words? Kirum, what? Kirum, when they are rum means elevated. At least in the mitzvahs. You know, he says something different. Kirum in the Mitzvah Tzion, he says, Kimo kireim v'hu min chaya. Zulus, and what does it mean, Zulus? Miloshin zoylel v'raft, v'ra'afton. It's like an animal that is Zulus, levnei adam, as they attack people. So he's saying over here, I thought it was a different interpretation. I was in neighborhood where I thought it was Rashi, he said something totally different, but the Mitzvah says over here, he's giving an analogy. The analogy is an animal called a kirum. Is the chaf part of the shavish seen kamo kireim, a kireim buhu min chaya. It would appear. I'm not sure if the chaf is a shavish of the word or the chaf is just a prefix. There's a creature called, maybe it's the re'ein. So the rum is short for the re'ein. Okay, gzuntait. It is a violent, wicked creature that preys upon man. It preys upon man, and it does not let man get away. It'll wait it out. A person comes in contact with this evil creature called the re'ein. It will encircle him. It will lay an ambush. It will wait until finally it is victorious and devours a human being. And this is the metaphor for the wicked. The wicked will never, ever give up. They will never give up. There's no such thing as defeat. Whatever happens, there's another way. There's another way to win. They will always go and seek out a solution to achieve their desired result. And so Kirum is a creature, Zulus, a lowly creature. Kirum Zulus, it's a lowly creature that's wicked, and it lurks in the background. It is soivev levnei adam, to destroy them and attack them. That is the marshal for the wicked. The wicked do the same exact thing. Saviv risham yishalochun. The wicked encircle the vulnerable, the ani the avyoin, just like kirum zulus. It's one term. Kirum zulus is the name. It's the name of a creature. Kireim, that is a zoylil verafton, like this creature called the re'ein, which is a lowly creature, and it is a violent. A rafton means it's hungry. It's hungry and it's desperate, just like this room that is a zulus. It seeks to devour levnei adam. Therefore, watch out for the wicked. The wicked are dangerous. And that we're going to stop. We'll have to go spend another more time on this next week to finish this mizmor. Okay.
What's the last phrase?
That you cannot protect yourself. There's no way to survive from the wicked. There's no way. The only way a person can survive the wicked is through siyata d'shmaya. We always say this, but that this world is not like what they get in the cartoons. On the cartoons, they show you Batman and the Joker. Who wins at the end of the day? Batman wins. Superman, Lex Luthor. Who wins at the end of the day? Superman. Because the forces of good are always stronger than the force of evil. That is pure apikorsis. The forces of evil are much, much stronger than the forces of good. That's the way the world is. The only way the good can survive is with Siyata Shmaya. Kireitzer leiv ha'odam ra min. Chazal say beferish. Shlam ruv il mole if Akadosh Baruch Hu will not help a person, you have no chance. It's not that that the way the world presents it, the toiv is stronger than ra, and at the end of the day, the toiv wins. And in the movie and in the film, there is absolutely no mention of God. God doesn't exist. And there's evil and there's good and good wins. That's pure, pure apikorsis. That's the whole America. The whole culture is built upon that principle. It's apikorsis. The koyach of Ra is infinitely more powerful than the koyach of Toiv. And the Toiv has no chance. The only way Toiv can survive is with God. Siyata d'shmaya. Because Baruch Hu will manipulate it such that you'll escape from the Ra. But by default, Hashem put in this world a koyach of Ra that is much, much more powerful than the koyach of Tov. Chazal said this explicitly in many different ways. Okay, we have to stop here, take a short break, and then we'll do some of the parasha. You look in the parasha. Mayor, you're back.